Thanks for joining us for another Lancaster Baptist podcast. We believe the Word of God is the infallible, eternal truth that is needed in this generation. Paul said to Timothy, "Preach the Word, be instant in season and out of season." It's my prayer that the doctrinal encouragement of today's message will be a great blessing in your life. Thanks again for taking time to join with us.
Luke chapter 18, as we begin our new year in Bible study on Wednesday night, and tonight we're going to learn about striving together in prayer. And so we're going to read Luke 18, beginning in verse number 1 and reading down through verse number 8. "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man." I believe this was speaking of the Ninth Circuit Court in San Francisco. I'm not 100% sure. "There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Shall we pray? Father, we're humbled by the fact that you want us to pray, to seek your face, to come to you with importunity. We ask tonight, Lord, that you would teach us more and bring us not only to greater understanding, but also to greater action in the word, in the matter of prayer. And we ask this tonight in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, this is that time of year when many of us have set goals. We have done our best to plan, to prepare. We've gotten revved up and ready to go. And yet, as we have seen in the scriptures in recent weeks, we do not want to be guilty of making the tragic mistake of running this race in our own flesh. We do not want to do what we saw a few weeks ago on Sunday morning in Mary and Joseph's life, where they traveled a day's journey and then began to realize that Jesus was left back in Jerusalem. And one of the ways that we can commence a new year presumptuously is to not set within our daily schedule time with God, time to pray, time to seek His face. Probably one of the most difficult things for many Christians is to establish a regular prayer time. For some reason, prayer seems to be an assault on our autonomous spirit, our self-will, our ability to solve problems in our own strength. But we see in the text tonight that it is the will of God that we would pray without ceasing. It is the will of God that we would come to Him and commune with Him and bring our requests before Him. In the closing verses of this Luke chapter 17, we see the Lord Jesus Christ teaching to His disciples concerning the second coming. And as He comes to the end of chapter 17, He says to His disciples in verse number 1 of chapter 18, "And He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." Might I suggest to you that if you are a Christian tonight who believes that Jesus' coming is drawing nigh, then we should be increasing in our prayer life, not decreasing in our prayer life. And Jesus said, in light of the teaching in chapter 17, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, not to lose heart, not to be discouraged, but to continually come to the Lord in prayer. Now, many times we're willing to pray to a point. How many of you have prayed and sought the face of God in a matter and then thinking perhaps that He hadn't answered it or He had not answered it according to your will or way, gave up on that particular prayer? I think all of us have done that before. I think we get to a place where we seek His help, we seek His face, and then for whatever reason, we go to plan B, and we begin to seek our own wisdom in the matter. But Jesus says in this passage in verse number 1 that men ought always to pray, and notice, not to faint. And so we see in this parable a call from the Lord Jesus Christ to come to Him, to pray, and to seek His face. Now, we're going to see in the Bible study tonight, this is not a message about manipulating God. This is not a matter of getting our will done in heaven. This is a matter of getting God's will done on earth. And we're not here tonight to learn how to somehow get what we want to get out of God. On the other hand, we are here to learn that prayer is a vital part of abiding with Him in the new year, talking with Him and sharing our hearts with Him. Sometimes I'm afraid that we think prayer is something that can only be done at a sanctimonious place, at a sanctimonious time, with a particular tone of voice. But I truly believe that prayer is simply asking of the Lord and speaking to the Lord and communicating with the Lord. Well, notice a few lessons tonight from this parable in Luke chapter 18. Notice, first of all, the priority of prayer. The priority of prayer. The Bible teaches us that prayer should be constant. Prayer should be constant. The only alternative would be to quit. And God says, and faint not. He says, I want you to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Now, I think tonight about the spiritual battles that abound in our lives and in this country. And I think of Ephesians chapter 6, which teaches us that prayer is the great resource of the believer and that we ought to pray with all prayer and supplication. And I'm mindful of the fact that there is a devil tonight fighting against the church. I read a true story a few years ago about a man who had sat down on an airplane, and he was a pastor, and he noticed the man next to him had some type of a list, and he noticed that the man was reciting from the list and somewhat animated in his recitation. And so the pastor said to him, are you a Christian? And the man looked at him and said, not at all. He said, in fact, he said, I worship Satan. The pastor said, well, what are you doing? He said, I'm praying for ministers of the gospel to fall from their ministry. The pastor was shocked. And the pastor later wrote that he was convicted of the fact that someone so fervently would pray to pagan deities and pray to the wicked one in that way when many times he had not fervently prayed as he should to the Lord God of heaven. I want you to recognize tonight there is a devil who has a roaring lion and seeking whom he may devour. And our only resource in this matter of spiritual warfare, apart from the Word of God, is that we would come to the Lord in faith. Did you know that last year in America, 4,000 churches closed their doors? 4,000 times the devil got folks so confused, so discouraged, so much in the way of difficulty that 4,000 times churches ceased to exist. May I remind you tonight, our best laid plans for the new year are nothing without the power and hand of God. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And so tonight, we must see this matter of prayer as a priority. It must be constant. Men ought always to pray. Pray without ceasing. I mean, when you get in the elevator at work and you're just standing there, you can take a moment in prayer. I mean, on the way to work. I mean, when things don't go right and when things are going well. And of course, having a special time for prayer every day. Prayer should be constant. Notice, secondly, prayer should be confident. Prayer should be confident. Now, there is no question in my mind that we must pray according to His will. Jesus taught that. But we also are taught by Jesus to pray with boldness. Notice in your notes at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19, please. Hebrews chapter 10, of course, written to the believers who were from a Hebrew background and reminding them that Jesus Christ had fulfilled the new covenant and that He had made a better way by way of His sacrifice to approach God. And the Bible says in Hebrews 10, 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say His flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful who promised. Now, did you notice in verse 19, the Bible says, come boldly. Brethren, come with boldness and enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. I thank God for our four children. And over the years, I've always done my best to be easily and quickly available for our children. I have, in all these 25 years, in my office, have had a dedicated phone line. That dedicated phone line is a phone line, the phone number is given to my children and to my wife. They know that in the case of an urgent moment in their life, that they can call directly in, and it doesn't matter who I might be with. I might be with a wonderful church member. I might be with a community leader. I've had in our office two governors of our state, many of our elected officials, many great men of God. But if that phone rings, it doesn't matter who's in that office. I'm going to answer that phone because it's one of my children needing to talk to their daddy. And I want you to understand that my love for my children is minuscule compared to the love that God has for you. And he doesn't want you coming and saying, excuse me, God, and I don't mean to bother you. And when you have a minute, I need to talk to you. But he says, I want you to pick up that phone, if you will. And I want you to come boldly. And I want you to talk to me. And I want you to know I've cleared everything off my desk. Because when you need me, I want to hear from you. I'm just glad tonight I have a heavenly Father that wants me to come to him. And he says, come boldly. I want you to come boldly. Notice Psalm 103 and verse 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Oh, what a wonderful God we serve tonight. Oh, I've seen those who pray to the idols and the statues made of stone. I've seen those who pray to the earth goddess Gaia. I've seen them as they cry out and bang the gourd before a Buddha. Eyes have they, but they cannot see. Ears have they, but they cannot hear. Thank God tonight when we enter boldly into the throne of grace, we are praying to the Creator God of heaven who not only wants to hear from us, but who can do something about what we're saying, you see. And so Jesus said to his disciples, in light of his return, he said, I want you to make prayer a priority. I want you to know that men ought always to pray and not to faint. The priority of prayer. Notice, if you would, secondly, the persistency of our prayer, or the persistence of prayer. Now, Jesus, in his teaching, often told a parable. Parabolic teaching was a wonderful instrument used of our Lord to help us to understand the principle previously stated. So the principle was men ought always to pray and not to faint. But now Jesus is going to take a story to illustrate how persistent he wants us to be in the matter of prayer. I love the parables. I thank God for the way the Lord Jesus used parables for people like me to understand something just a little better. And so let's see the parable before us tonight, verse 2, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man, and there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Now here we see a contrasting example. A contrasting example. We have just seen that God wants us to come to him. We have seen that he wants us to come boldly. We know this whole parable is about God telling us to come to him. But now, in contrast, he tells us about an ungodly judge who did not want to hear the requests of this widow woman. The Bible tells us that this judge feared not God, neither did he regard man or care about the needs of man. And so in the parable, we see, unlike our Heavenly Father, a man whose attitude might have been, don't bug me, I don't have time for you right now. And we see in the passage that he had no heart for the woman. Proverbs 29 and verse 7 tells us, the righteous considereth the cause of the poor, but the wicked regardeth not to know it. In other words, a wicked man doesn't really care about the poor, doesn't really care about someone that cannot help him. And so this was the case with this man. Perhaps he was a judge in the Roman magistrate who had no care for Jewish people. We do not know exactly the domain of this judge, but we know his heart was cold and that he was an unapproachable, uncaring man. a contrasting example to our Heavenly Father. But notice, secondly, this concerned widow. We see a concerned widow. And the Bible teaches us in James that pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widow in her time of affliction. And so we know it is the will of God that the widow be heard. We know it's the will of God that she be helped. But this man was not of such a mind. The Bible tells us that this widow came and she had an adversary. We do not know exactly what the adversary was doing. We do not know if it was some type of slander. We do not know if it was some type of debt. Perhaps it was. But we know from the scripture there was an adversity coming into her life from this other individual. There was a wrong that was being done, and she needed to be avenged. She had a persecutor that would not stop persecuting her. And so we see a woman, helpless in her own right, going to a higher power and asking help of the higher power. The widow, my friend, pictures you and pictures me. Sometimes we might feel that we're self-sufficient, that we have the best laid plans, but in reality, we're like the widow. Without intervention from a higher power, we can't move forward in our lives. And Jesus is using the widow to typify his disciples and the judge to typify the higher authority that we might come to. The principle on which every judge will act despite his authority, according to the parable, is the principle of persistence. And the principle of persistence is what Jesus was teaching his disciples. James chapter 4 and verse 2 says, "Ye lust and ye have not. Ye kill and ye desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not." Now, if an ungodly judge will act in accordance to the request of the widow, how much more will the ruler of the universe, the Creator God of our lives, respond to our request through prayer? How we thank God tonight for the picture here of a God who hears and answers prayer. Now, notice a couple of things about the widow, please. First, she was concerned enough about this problem to persist. She was concerned enough to persist. Verse 4, "He would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this woman troubleth me." Now, there are times in our life when we grow prayerless, and God will allow circumstances into our life that bring us back to prayer. And I believe those circumstances tonight, frankly, are all around us. I believe when we see in our community family troubles and in our country a turning away from God, I believe the spiritually minded Christian every day realizes, God, if you don't intervene and if you don't avenge us and if you don't intervene in this country, then we are nigh done historically. We have no hope. And so we see the woman coming. The Bible says in Luke 11 and verse 8, "I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth." This was another parable of prayer. And it spoke of importunity or persistency. And it said that this answered prayer took place because of the persistency of the prayer warrior. This woman was concerned that much. Notice, secondly, she was rewarded for her persistence. She was rewarded for her persistence. Notice verse 7. It says, "And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily." You see, the woman was rewarded in verse 5. And then we see in this a picture. And the picture is that if the judge, unrighteous though he was, if he would avenge the woman, how much more will the Lord avenge those who come to him? Now someone says, "Pastor, I don't know how to reconcile the foreknowledge of God, the fact that he already knew he was going to answer this prayer in a particular way, with the fact that he tells us to come and seek his will." And I suppose that every Christian's thought that through from time to time. How do you reconcile those truths? The fact that God knows what's going to take place with the fact that he undeniably tells us to pray without ceasing. And friend, while we may not have the final answer to that question this side of heaven, I can guarantee you this much, God wants to hear from us. God, my friend, always answers the prayer in His way, in His will, and in His time. But in the process of our discovering His will, there's something wonderful happening through prayer. And that is we're humbling ourselves. We're depending upon Him. We're seeking His face. We're telling Him that without Him, Lord, we know we can't do it without You. And so in spite of those that might become rather fatalistic and say, well, why even pray? I want to remind you tonight, the reason to pray is the same reason we're here tonight. The same Bible that says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, says pray without ceasing. And so rather than stand around and wonder and be in a quandary over the fact that God already knows how the prayer will be answered, let's be obedient until we discover how He will answer the prayer, you see. And I believe tonight, as we have shared many goals this past Sunday night, I believe the proper approach for those is now to bring them to the Lord in prayer. And I believe as we approach our revival meeting, I believe that we must come to the Lord with this same type of persistency. You study the great revivals of the past, the Welsh revival. You study the revivals in New England. And you'll always find a bended knee somewhere preceding that revival. Revival does not come just because a meeting is planned on the calendar. Revival comes because of humbled hearts before God, persistently seeking His face, repenting of their sin, asking God to intervene, asking God to change people's hearts and lives. Will God bring that answer exactly on the first night of the revival, or the last night of the revival, or the night before, or a week later? We do not know. We only know this, that He calls us to pray and to seek His face. Psalm 85 in verse 6, the psalmist said it this way, "Will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" Oh, how we need to pray that prayer. Oh God, would you not revive us again? And so the woman was rewarded for her persistence. Now, as I said earlier, we're not talking about manipulating God. We're not talking about telling God what He has to do. Sometimes you've heard of this so-called name it and claim it philosophy of religion. This idea where you just kind of name it and tell God and believe and believe and believe, and it's sort of like you keep God hostage. Oh, no, no. He's your creator, and He's not subject to your will. We're subject to His will. And so we're not talking about manipulating God, but we're talking about beseeching the throne of grace persistently as we seek His will in our lives. I heard about a Missouri man a few years ago who fasted and prayed for revival. The only problem was he fasted and had difficulty from the fasting. He fasted so long, I think it was 50-some days, that he died. Now, folks, let me tell you something. We cannot blackmail God. We cannot make Him do what we want Him to do. We must come to Him humbly, but the text tonight is teaching us we must come to Him persistently. And sometimes, from our perspective, prayer seems as though it's being denied or maybe at the least delayed. But I've got to tell you, folks, how many of you could testify that some of the best answers to your prayers were the non-answers? You know what I'm talking about? How many of you are glad God didn't give you everything you asked for? You see, I'm so glad that He not only is loving, that He not only tells me to seek Him constantly, but I'm glad that He knows what I need in my life. And He says, I want you to keep coming. I want you to keep coming. And He says, I'm going to answer that prayer. I'm going to answer that. Partly, yes, He sees our persistency. But thank God more than that, He sees our overall need. Psalm 81 in verse 4 has humbled me time and again. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? How many of you are just humbled by the fact that God knows even your name, much less the numbers of the hairs on your head? God knows you, and He wants you to know Him. Notice in Psalm 54, in our text tonight, save me, O God, by Thy name, and judge me by Thy strength. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to my words of the words of my mouth, for strangers are risen up against me, and oppressors seek after my soul. They have not set God before them, Selah. Behold, God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. He shall reward evil unto mine enemies. Cut them off in Thy truth. I will freely sacrifice unto Thee. I will praise Thy name, O Lord God, for it is good, for He hath delivered me out of all trouble, and mine eye hath seen His desire upon mine enemies. You ever want to get an idea of how to pray? Read the Psalms. You ever feel like maybe in your life you're not as strong as you maybe thought you should be, and then you read the Psalms. Oh, how the Psalms comfort my heart. How my heart is encouraged to read the prayers of David as he cries out unto the Lord, as he seeks the face of the Lord over and over and over again. David's calling out to the Lord, seeking for his help, asking for the guidance of his shepherd, asking for the counselor of his king. Time and again, persistently, David came seeking the face of God. You want to increase your prayer life? Read the Psalms and pray as David prayed. We see the priority of prayer. We see the persistence of prayer. But I want you to see, in closing tonight, the promise of prayer. Now notice the promise in verse 8. And what a wonderful verse this is, but what a convicting verse too. Notice if you would, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now remember, the context of the parable was in relation to the coming of the Son of Man. And so the reason to pray persistently was because of the need of the hour. If it was needed in the first century, I believe it's greatly needed tonight as we consider his coming draweth nigh. And in verse number 8, he says that he will avenge them speedily. Notice, first of all, an encouragement promised. There is an encouragement promised. And the encouragement is that God, the righteous judge, will avenge his children. Maybe someone has wronged you. Maybe it's the fact that you're going through a season of waiting or drought or difficulty or injustice. And here the encouragement that is promised to us is that an avengement will take place by the righteous judge. Notice in 2 Peter, if you would, chapter 3 and verse 8, it says, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." Notice this. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Now, friend, I want to remind you tonight, our God is not slack concerning his promises. He's not forgetful. God is not up in heaven on a rocking chair and like you and like me, forgetting what's on his to-do list tonight. You ever have that type of a day where you just completely forget something? And you were supposed to go buy milk, or you were supposed to get something for your spouse, or you were supposed to drop something off at the post office, and at the end of the day, you completely forgot. How many of you are glad tonight that God is omniscient? He knows not only our name and our address, he knows every need of our life tonight. And the Word of God is encouraging us with the nature of God, that he's not slack concerning his promise. If he says, "I will provide your every need," if he says, "I will avenge you and I will care for you," he's not going to be slack in fulfilling that promise. And how we thank the Lord for his faithfulness in that way. "Great is thy faithfulness," as we read in the Scripture. But notice, secondly, a question posed. A question posed. And I want you to see this. "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Now, faith is spoken of in the sense of belief, sometimes a set of beliefs, but also it is in the context of trust in him. When the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith? In this context, will he find people with faith enough to pray? For without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so the question is given, will there be faith when he comes? This is spoken of as a predetermined fact. The Son of Man will come. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, I believe Gabriel's getting his lips around that trumpet tonight. I believe he's working on the valves as we speak. I believe the trumpet's going to sound soon and Jesus Christ is coming again. And the question is, are we going to be faithfully praying and seeking his face for revival, drawing closer to him? Or will we be joining that lukewarm Laodicean crowd just before he comes? The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." But when that event comes, will he find faith in the earth? Tonight, I think of Hebrews 10:25, which I mentioned a moment ago. "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Oh, listen, I just want to encourage you tonight, as you're here on this midweek service, as we have busy schedules, let's not get so busy that we forget to pray. I read a book years ago on prayer entitled, Too Busy Not to Pray. It is said of Martin Luther that he would often, in speaking to others, say, I have so much to do today, I dare not begin the day without 4 hours in prayer. Sometimes we view our prayer and Bible reading like something we've got to get done quickly because we've got the big important stuff to do. But I would tell you tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching us that the big important stuff is to sit at His feet in prayer and to come to Him. I remember in the Holy Land visiting the Garden of Gethsemane. I don't know why, but of all the places we visited, that was the place that touched my heart the most. It was the place where emotion overwhelmed me. And as we walked through those olive trees, some of them 1,000, 1,500 years old, some perhaps back to the time of Christ, I was mindful of the fact that everyone who knew Jesus knew this, that He often resorted thither. It was known that He went to that garden place to pray. And Jesus, of course, prayed in His final great moments of agony the prayer which said, Father, if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. And as He prayed that prayer, He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And someone might say again, why was He praying for something that was inevitable, something that was ordained in eternity past? I believe because of the fact that we are commanded in 1 Peter 2 to follow in His steps. I believe everything Jesus did was for my example and your example, that we would seek the Father's will and direction every single step of the way. But Jesus prayed there. He often resorted there. Jesus Christ taught us and is teaching us in this passage to come. Prayer is an expression of faith in God. Prayer is thanking instead of complaining. Prayer is rejoicing and accepting and appropriating the grace of God. And you cannot enjoy a blessedness with God without prayer. And may I say tonight, we cannot have revival without prayer. We have not because we ask not. When I think of revival, I think of being thoroughly right with God. When I think of revival, I think of being aware of sin and hating it more. I think of loving God more. When I think of revival, I think of being easily nudged to do the will of God. It won't take dynamite to get me to serve God when revival has come. Revive us, O Lord, fill each heart with Thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. And I want you to know tonight, no matter how long you've been saved, that this revival meeting coming up in just a few weeks is not something we're just doing because Baptists put revival on the calendar. We're not just having a meeting, folks. We need to have a meeting with God in prayer and in revival. I've pastored too long now to see folks that I thought were just doing great just really have trouble. I don't condemn them. I don't condemn them. I've seen the devil take 70 and 80 year old men and ruin their testimony. May we not enter this year presumptuously, proudfully, and prayerlessly. But may we enter this year humbly, prayerfully seeking the face of God. May we come into this year saying, Lord, I don't want to take a step without Your guiding hand. What's Your will here, Lord? What's Your will there? Lord, search me and try me and show me if there be any wicked way in me. I want to be right with You, Lord. R.A. Torrey, the great evangelist of the 19th century and early 20th century, said, I will give you a prescription for revival. Let a few men, they need not be many, get thoroughly right with God themselves. Let them band themselves together in prayer and humbly seek the Lord in prayer. Let them repent of sin and seek to be obedient to God in all of their ways, and God will bring revival to them. I say this tonight with all conviction, that God is looking to and fro, maybe not for 1,500 people or so, maybe tonight for the five or six. For the five or six that would get thoroughly right with God. And that when their lives are bearing fruit and their sins are being confessed, and when they go and confess hatred or sin or having stolen or having bitterness, and others begin to sense that the Holy Spirit uses the revival experience by the 5 or 6 to spread to the 8 or 9, to spread to the 10 or 20, to spread to the rest of the church. Your responsibility is the same as mine, that nothing in your life would hinder revival from coming, and that each of us would pray always and without ceasing, and at least avail ourselves to the will of God. And the great prayer request of the month is that we would have God's Spirit bringing revival to every single heart. Oh, listen tonight. Prayer may not lead you to an immediate desired answer, but I guarantee you this. It will lead you to the presence of God every single time. And while you wait for that desired answer, may I remind you there's no greater place to wait than in the presence of God. May we come to His presence this month. May we enter His presence. And may we remember the words of our Lord that men ought always to pray and not to faint.
Once again, I want to thank you for joining with us for today's message. Let me remind you that you can receive a daily devotional by logging on at dailyintheword.org. If you'd like more Bible study materials, you can also visit strivingtogether.com. Anything we can do to help and encourage you in the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, we would count that as a great honor. God bless you.